Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Thank you for this opportunity to present arguments on this matter of great public importance. As is clear from the attention this case has received and from the attendance here today, many people feel personally affected by this decision and recognize that it could shape the future for water administration in the state of New Mexico. As you know, the state engineer's position is first. The Augustine Plains Ranch application was complete for filing and publication. Second, the application was speculative. Third, the Water Rights Division's evaluation for completeness is and should be distinct from the state engineer's speculation analysis. And fourth, the summary judgment hearing was sufficient to afford APR due process and an opportunity to present evidence. With respect to the four motions at issue today, the state engineer respectfully requests that the court grant its motion for summary judgment and deny the applicant's motion. With respect to the Catron County Board of County Commissioners and community protestants' motions, although we agree with the relief requested, we would not wish that Your Honor adopt the arguments in those motions that, as we have set out in our briefing, are mischaracterizations of New Mexico. None of the opposing parties successfully raised a dispute, a factual dispute, with the state engineer's material facts, and none of these other motions has shown its proponents is entitled to summary judgment as a matter of law. I'd like to address each of my four main points in turn and reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. First, just briefly, with respect to completeness, the Water Rights Division properly determined that the application was complete for filing. That is, the application provided each of the elements required under NMSA Section 7212.3. The second application was appreciably materially different from the first and satisfied OSC's best practices for descriptions of place of use for both commercial and municipal purposes. Second, the application is speculative under New Mexico law. The fundamental principles of New Mexico prior appropriation law discourage speculation. Even before New Mexico had become a state, territorial courts, as in the Millhiser case, acknowledged that the purpose of prior appropriation law, the main object, was to prevent speculation and monopoly. The 1907 codification of the Water Code in New Mexico and the introduction of state engineer administration of public water helped to set certainty and order among the state's water users. The New Mexico Constitution integrated the reasoning of the Millhiser Court and the 1907 Water Code into Article 16, Sections 2 and 3 by declaring unappropriated water belongs to the public, by establishing priority as determinative of the better right, and that beneficial use is the basis, measure, and the limit of a water right. And this together, known as the Prior Appropriation Doctrine, was intrinsically a recognition that orderly apportionment of water was necessary to prevent private domination of a limited public resource. That is, to prevent hoarding, monopolization, and speculation in water. The applicants diminish this argument, but public ownership and beneficial use are not trivial in a state that regularly runs short of water, an essential shared resource. The beneficial use requirement and the need for detail, viability, and planned application of water flow directly from the conception of water as public, as belonging to the people of the state of New Mexico. A right to divert and use water is undeniably a private asset, but actual use, not intended use, not use conditioned on future contracts, not aspirational use, actual beneficial use is the basis, the measure, and the limit of the water. And it's according to these established principles of New Mexico water law that the state engineer determined the application, the APR application, is speculative. The application seeks to appropriate 54,000 acre feet of water, but it lacks information as to how it will use and allocate this amount of water. And although it identifies commercial and municipal uses, the application lacks information as to how much water will be used for commercial purposes, how much water will be used for municipal purposes, and how much water it intends to distribute to each of the municipalities it identifies. APR suggests in its pleadings that its intent was to finalize these details once it had obtained a decision as to how much water was available to appropriate. but this only underscores the speculative nature of its applications, APR's inability to demonstrate actual means. APR argues that this uncertainty is a given. Of course, its plans would be contingent upon the amount of water approved for appropriation. But again, this underscores what's missing, a showing of exactly why APR needs 54,000 acre feet of water. The application cites municipal use, but includes no commitments from those municipalities it intends to partner with. And no municipality has cited APR water as a potential supply source in its water development plan under 7219, the 4-year switch. Here, APR is attempting to justify this lack of detail in its plan regarding the amounts and places of use by ascribing it to an uncertainty inherent in supplying municipalities for their future needs. But again, this shows the disconnect between intent and beneficial use. The application fails to show how its applied for appropriation bears a relationship to reasonably anticipated requirements that APR can reasonably fulfill. The state determination that the application was speculative should not be taken to minimize the research, planning, and investment that APR incorporated into this second application. APR argues that its investment is the manifestation of a bona fide intent to place the water to beneficial use. Well, it goes without saying that actual placement of water to beneficial use is prospective and can't predict the future. That disconnect that I just described is key. Here, taken together, the absence of certain details in the APR application is a failure to show that APR's intent is anything other than speculative. As it is, the application suggests APR intends to hold as much water as possible against the interests of other potential appropriators, while it finalizes the details of its marketing plan and attracts investors and identifies willing buyers and establishes prices. And this is contrary to the principles of prior appropriation. We need not rely on Colorado law to find that the application was speculative. Although New Mexico law on speculation is still developing, it's possible to make a determination that the application is speculative without the need to rely on any step test. Our state's federal principles of prior appropriation are sufficient to support this determination. And in this case, these principles do support the state engineer's decision. Third, the completeness analysis and the speculation analysis are and should be separate inquiries. As the law stands now, and according to the established principles of the state engineer, or practices, excuse me, of the state engineer's office, if an application is complete as to form, the Water Rights Division issues a notice for publication. Within this framework, and according to our water code, completeness is determined by the Water Rights Division under statute. But we have no such scheme by which to assess whether an application is speculative. Instead, this analysis proceeds along a track that dovetails with the protest and hearing process. That is, once Water Rights Division issues a notice for publication, if there are protests, then this next phase of the application process incorporates the participation of protestants. The protestants in this case have argued that whether an application is speculative should be a determination that Water Rights Division performs as part of its completeness assessment. This interpretation is in fact against the best interests of protestants and would prevent protestants' participation in both speculation inquiries concerning specific applications and more generally in the development of New Mexico law. It may help to give this example. If Water Rights Division refused acceptance of an application on the basis that the application was speculative, it's likely that the applicant would agree to that decision, because that decision would have preceded publication of notice. The only parties at a hearing concerning whether the decision was correct, that is, whether the application was speculative, would be the Water Rights Division and the applicant. And upon appeal and through to the Supreme Court, it would be the state engineer and the applicants. And protestants would be foreclosed from participation. Fourth, the summary judgment hearing within the state engineer's administrative hearings process with the hearing.
All right. Okay. I'll give you another 15 seconds.
That's okay.
I want to get the
Do you need me to repeat anything?
I want the band on.
Okay. Yeah.
but not the air conditioning.
Do you need me to repeat anything?
Well, I have a very clear memory.
Excellent.
When I hear things, I repeat what you said.
For the summary judgment hearing within the state engineer's administrative.
I love Kathy Jones. We all live our course, Kathy Jones. This one, particularly with the judge.
Wee-hee.
Okay, so.
For.
Start again, I'm gonna give you 40 seconds.
That's all right.
Okay.
The summary judgment hearing within the state engineer's administrative hearings process was a hearing providing an opportunity to present evidence satisfying the statutory requirements of section 72216 and 72217. Applicants argue that as soon as the Water Rights Division determined that the application was complete, APR would do a full evidentiary hearing, but there is no legal basis for this argument. In state engineer administrative hearings under 72-1217-B1, in the conduct of the hearing, opportunity shall be afforded all parties to appear and present evidence and argument on all issues involved. And APR had this opportunity in the form of our summary judgment hearing and oral argument. Likewise, the state engineer hearings unit rules and our administrative code 1925-215E NMEC expressly provides for state engineer decision making through summary judgment with a hearing. Contrary to APR's briefing.
Could you repeat that statute section again?
Yes, 1925-215E.
Oh, that's
right. NMEC, yeah. Contrary to APR's briefing, implicit in the Derringer Court of Appeals decision, was that court's recognition and acceptance of summary judgment. The case does not stand for the proposition that a full evidentiary hearing is the only proper mode of proceeding before the state engineer once an application is accepted. The majority of the cases that come before the state engineer's hearings unit are determined through dispositive motions often filed by applicants. To adopt APR's reasoning would foreclose the administrative use of this important procedure. And finally, with respect to the appropriateness of summary judgment on the matter before you today, Your Honor, the inquiry as to whether the application is speculative does not require additional evidentiary process. As Water Rights Division set out, the facts that bear upon the legal inquiry are undisputed. And likewise, the determination that the application should be denied as speculative as a matter of law was not a consequence of partition. Such summary judgment is not a partition. The APR application, partly because of the scale of its proposed application, raises new questions about the contours of the law concerning speculation in Mexico. On one hand, the applicants argue that they are entitled to a full evidentiary hearing in order for the state engineer to determine whether the application is speculative. And on the other hand, protesters argue that a speculative application should not even be accepted by the state engineer's complaint for filing. While the application may raise new questions, the answers lie in established New Mexico law. The state engineer's response to APR's motion for summary judgment set out 13 enumerated factors that collectively supported the state engineer's decision that approval of the APR application would be contrary to long-established principles of law of prior appropriation embodied in our Constitution and Water Code. The state engineer properly determined that the second application submitted by Augustine Green Branch was complete but speculative, properly made the determination that existing New Mexico law prior, made that determination under existing New Mexico law of prior appropriation, and properly afforded APR a hearing on its application. The state engineer therefore respectfully submits that it is entitled to summary judgment.
You want 5 minutes for your vote. About many things. Is Kathy Jones